Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
This morning will be our last lesson in Job. We have been following our friend Job through all of the ups and downs in his life, starting off so very rich, richest man in all of the East, having such a ministry that people would come to him for spiritual direction. And the Bible tells us how people would just sit there in awe and not even question him as he would begin to speak into their lives. And so it was obvious that God had blessed Job with a lot of spiritual insight. People recognized that and they would come to him for instruction. And then all of a sudden, Job's whole life is struck down in just a day. Everything that he has is taken from him. And a little bit later, even his health is taken from him. And if things weren't bad enough, then everybody shows up, especially his best friends, and they begin to pronounce that Job is obviously the biggest and worst sinner in the whole world. Because only a person that has massive, unconfessed, hidden sin could be the recipient of this much of God's wrath. And so they had determined that what was going on in Job's life was punishment from God. And so last week we learned that God showed up and had his say with Job, told Job he was a little presumptuous, told Job that no, as close to you as you were to being right, you didn't have all of the right answers. But then he spoke to Job's three friends and told them that they had to take seven rams and seven bulls, and they had to offer up an offering to God, or else they were going to get a little bit of God's justice in their lives for the way that they had treated God's man, Job. And so we pick up today with Job chapter 42, verses 9 through 17, and I'm just going to go ahead and read all the way through it. And you can follow along in your Bibles if you wish, or in the bulletin. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told them. And the Lord accepted Job. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all that had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning, as he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first one Jemima. There we go. I had that right when I practiced it last night. The second, Keziah, and the third, Karen Hapush. In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters. And their father gave them inheritance along with their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days. And so this brings us to the end of our study of Job. And I wanted to see just a few things in the closing verses of this chapter that can really encourage us. And so we see at the end of verse 9, it says, "And the Lord accepted Job." And you know, the thing that sin does is it separates us from God. It separates us from His presence. It separates us from His peace. It separates us from God. But here it says, so that there's no misunderstanding, that God accepted Job. And you know, the Word of God promises us that we are accepted in the Beloved being Jesus. And so when we have accepted Jesus into our lives, then God accepts us. We are accepted. You know, the rest of the world may reject us. The rest of the world may point their finger at us and call us silly old men or silly old women. The rest of the world might say, these people are poor and they have nothing to look forward to. But the rest of the world is wrong, because we are accepted in the Beloved. And anywhere we go on this earth, we have brothers and sisters in the Lord. It was interesting, as Terry and I and the rest of our team were out wandering through the jungles in India, that we came upon this little village on Sunday morning. And I told them, I said, "Folks, I just have to go to church. I know we've been in revival meetings for weeks now and we've been speaking all over the place. I just want to go to church." And we tried sneaking in the back door during the song service. Unfortunately, Terry and I, being as wide as we are, stood out like sore thumbs and kind of drew a lot of attention to ourselves. But when we walked in, we were accepted. We were accepted. You can go anywhere and you are accepted. We have a little friend in the Civil Air Patrol, and she is Scottish by heritage. And she had always wanted to go to Scotland and go to the family places over there. And she went over there, and as it turns out, the family, the clan that she was from, had its own church. And so she just thought that she would go there during the church service. It was Presbyterian, as are most of the churches in Scotland. And she tried to open the door a little bit so she could take a picture. But as soon as she touched the door flew open, and there was a Scotsman standing there and just grabbed her by the arm and pulled her in and said, "Where do you want to sit?" Amen. And I mean, she was just there just to take a few pictures, you know, to remember her trip by. And they were saying, "Oh no, you're accepted. You're accepted in the Beloved." And they brought her in and just really blessed her. And that's how it should be for all of us. Anywhere that we go, we have brothers and sisters. There may be some that are a little standoffish, and we've all had to deal with those. But for the most part, anywhere we go in this earth, there's going to be brothers and sisters who accept us. But more importantly, we are accepted. Amen. God accepts us. And then I like what it says here in verse 10. "And then the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends." And I'm sure that Job, and when he's writing this, is using the term friends very loosely, because they have done nothing except persecute him for perhaps months and months, as they have derided him and told him just how bad of a sinner he had to be. But God said, "Job, I want you to pray for your friends." And so Job decided that he would pray for his friends. And verse 10 says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends." And folks, I want you to know that the key to receiving God's blessings is to bless others. When you have dedicated your life to just get, then why should God bless you with any more? He's just pouring money down an empty hole. Or a full hole, you know, whatever. But when somebody receives that blessing and turns around and gives it, God will bless them more. As I've said so many times, we are blessed, church, so that we can bless others.
Amen.
That's why God has put us here. That's why He's given us the food ministry. That's why all of these things happen. We are blessed so that we can bless others. And Job, at this point, is still penniless. He is still sick. Have we read anywhere where he was healed from the sores? Not yet. But here it says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends." Folks, you want to be blessed by God, then turn your thoughts and your eyes outward and begin to pray for those around you. We hear people complain, "Oh, this person and that person and we don't like how this is being done and we don't like how that decision is being done." Why don't you pray about it? Pray that God will bless this person. What does the Bible say? Pray for those who despitefully use you. Amen? And so Job's fortunes were returned. I mean, here's Job. Here's his friends. They're finally getting their tongue lashing from God, like I'm sure Job is saying they deserve it after the lousy friends they've been. So they're getting theirs. And then God is saying, "Now, Job, I want you to pray for them." Well, Job is saying, "Well, what's in it for me? I'm still sick. I'm still childless. I'm still, you know, poor. I have no belongings. But okay, God, you said to pray for them, I'll pray for them." And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. Amen. God did not put us here to be judgmental. That's the world's job. Okay? How many of you know that the world does a pretty good job at judging us? Amen? Don't they? No, we're not here to be judgers. To be judgmental, we are here to bless. We are here to lift others up in prayer because we know that prayer works. As Bob told us about the response from the doctors that, well, there is no cancer, it must have been a diagnostic error. And I think all of us have gone through circumstances where the doctor said, "This is how it is." And yet when God's people prayed, they would come back. I remember that one incident with Tony where he had a broken neck. We all saw the x-rays, but they bring in a specialist and the specialist runs more x-rays and it's healed. He says, "We can see here where in the past, somewhere, this person has suffered a broken neck, but that must have been years ago because it's healed now. There's nothing wrong with him." And I tell you what, if I wasn't grinning on the outside, I was definitely grinning on the inside because we knew what had happened. God had had mercy. He had heard our prayers and reached down and blessed this person. That's what we do, folks. We pray for God's blessing. We pronounce God's blessing. Do you ever think about the word proclaim? What does the word proclaim mean? It means we claim this and then we announce it. That's what proclaim means. And when I pray, I proclaim the healing of whomever I'm praying for, and then I claim it, then I announce it. I pronounce it, and that's what faith is. Saying the things that aren't as though they were. Amen? And so Job prayed for his friends, and then God restored his blessings. And it says that the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. You know, sometimes we look at what we have lost. "Oh, I had this happen when the stock market crashed and all of my life savings were wiped out, and this happened, and we had this unexpected medical bill or whatever happened, and now I am penniless. Now I have nothing." And God says, "But the story's not over yet. Amen? And with Job, the story wasn't over. He had everything, and he thought what he had, being the richest man in the East, I mean, how much more could you have? And God said, it's not enough, Job. After all that you went through for me, I want to double what you had. And people say, well, that's mighty nice, Pastor. That's neat how things work out in the Old Testament, how God goes ahead and doubles somebody's blessing. Well, I got news for you. Jesus in the New Testament announces that sometimes we get sixfold, and sometimes we get tenfold, and sometimes we get a hundredfold. Amen. Don't underestimate the power of our God. And so Job was still poor, and he was still sick, but in that poor state and in that sickness, he prayed for his friends. And because by faith he did what God told him to do, and he lifted up his friends, immediately Job's fortunes were turned around. Not just restored to him, but double back to it. It says all of his family, and in the East, you don't have to be blood to be family. Okay, in the Eastern culture, when Terry and I go over there, this is Auntie Climby, or Auntie Terry. Or if it's real formal, it's Terry Auntie. All right, and so the people of the churches that we minister to, they consider us family. Even though we're not blood, we are family. And the same thing is happening here with Job, is that all of his family comes back, but more than his family, just everybody who knew Job and who appreciated God's blessings and ministry through Job, they all came back. And it says that when they came back and they broke bread, man, they had a party. Amen? They were celebrating God's goodness in their lives. We need to have more parties around here. Amen? Because God has been more good to us and blessed us so much more than even Job did. But they had a party back then. It says everybody left a piece of gold, a ring of gold, and a piece of money. And there must have been thousands upon thousands of people at that party. Because Job walked out of there rich, rich, rich. And it says that God blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. So then he had, instead of 7,000 sheep, he got 14,000 sheep. Instead of 3,000 camels, how many does he have? 6,000. Instead of 500 yoke of oxen, he's got 1,000 yoke of oxen, and now he's got 500, or excuse me, he has 1,000 female donkeys. And to go along with all that is all the farm help that you need to take care of her. So in a day or two or whatever, Job's fortunes are turned entirely around, and he is now, well, if he was the richest man in the East before all this happened, and now he's got twice as much, you think he's again the richest man in the East? Amen. And what was all this for? So that people could see that this was God's blessings on Job. And then, God hasn't forgotten Mrs. Job yet. Okay? Remember the one that said, curse God and die? Verse 13, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so, the 7 sons and 3 daughters that he lost when Satan attacked, now they're returned. And God has made Job's family complete. And the Bible doesn't tell us about Job's first 3 daughters, but it does tell us about the last 3 daughters that he has. And that these were, how can I say it so that everybody understands? They were babes. Okay? I mean, they were good-looking women. And the names that he gave them, one means dove. The other one means the one who provides, it's kind of like naming your daughter Mary Kay. Okay? it means the applier of the makeup that makes the woman beautiful. I mean, they're just beautiful, beautiful names. And then Job did something that nobody does. He made his daughters joint heirs with his sons. Daughters never received an inheritance in that society. But Job was so blessed, and he recognized that the seven sons came from God and the three daughters came from God. And so he gave his three daughters a full inheritance along with his sons. And then, like all good fairy tales end, and they lived happily ever after. It says that after this, Job lived 140 years. 140 years. And he saw his sons and his grandsons and his great-grandsons and his great-great-grandsons. Four generations. Man, that's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it to sit there as the grandfather or as the grandmother and to see your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and now even the great-great-grandchildren playing at your feet? Isn't that a blessing? Aren't we all blessed when our children and our grandchildren come to visit? Imagine what Job was like in perfect health for an additional 140 years and being able to sit back and enjoy the inheritance that God had given him. Well, we're not going to live 140 years. We're going to live forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We're going to live forever in the kingdom of heaven. We all, if the rapture doesn't come, all of us will step through that doorway of death. But when we step through that door, we arrive in eternity. And there, just like all of Job's family came and blessed him, we are going to be there with the ones that we love so much. Others will come up to us, folks that we have never seen or heard of. But because of our missions work, because of what this church has done in other countries, what this church has done here with our food ministry, people are going to come up and say, "You may not know me, but because you gave me that slice of pizza, I went back to my apartment and the Holy Ghost talked to me and told me today is the day of salvation." Someone else might come up and say, "You don't know me, but you supported the missionaries that went to my village and told the good news of Jesus Christ, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior." So Job got to live 140 years and saw his descendants for four generations. But we, because of Jesus, get to live forever. Amen? Amen. No sickness, no pain. We get to live forever. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We live the life of the ages. Father, we thank you.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.